frustrates you guys the most about the countryside in the UK? Concealing wealth is part and parcel of preserving it. Are the wealthy really as insecure as it would seem to me?
This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast. We're here answering all the listener questions that get sent in. They've been sent in for years now and they never seem to run out. And we don't always talk about the countryside as much as you may think we do. But we always try and bring it back to the environment in some way and come up with actions to address what we discuss. Now, I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabbott, one of the co-hosts. Who's the other co-host?
I'm William Ankler. Thanks very much for being with us. Everybody who listens to this podcast, no matter how often you listen to it, you might have listened to every single episode, or this is your first ever episode, welcome to this podcast. We thank you for listening to our podcast.
And in our conversational style, we try and keep the big issues in your consciousness. We're like two men sat in a pub. We open an envelope with a question in and away we go. We just don't have a pint of Guinness with us.
Yeah, don't have the drink. That's the where are we going wrong with that, Stuart?
Exactly. So we got a question. First question today is from Sierra Leone. Do you want to try and pronounce that name?
Mariama.
Yeah, I think that's a female name. Looks female. Mariama.
Mariama?
Yeah.
I'll go for Mariama, yes.
So what's the question?
Thank you for your question, Mariama, and welcome to the listener questions. You might have been listening for years, but this, you know, now sent a question in. Mariama's question is, for a few years, I lived in Cumbria in the UK. I miss your country walks there. Countryside here in Sierra Leone is a very different thing, though. Tell me, what frustrates you guys the most about the countryside in the UK? I think I know what it would be for you, Stuart.
It's just gates! I can't get in with a...
access.
Fucking wheelchair!
Wow.
Yeah, it's an explicit episode.
My spidey sense of tingling that this is now an explicit episode.
Yeah.
You know what? Tell me that.
Yeah. And also another frustration is people with disabilities that aren't always physically disabled. There's all sorts of disabilities. Anyway, what's your frustrations, William?
Twofold. Access is also for me as well, because there's a lot of countryside which is completely blocked off from access.
We were talking the other day, there's public rights of way,
yeah,
but access to those public right of ways is blocked.
It's blocked, yeah, because of private landers. Yeah. There's this the king and his castle sort of attitude in the UK. I also think that people are too habitual about where they go. You know, you can kind of get to... I find it often on the River Thames in Oxford that suddenly... you'll be walking down a certain part of it and there's loads of people, and then you get to a certain point and there's nobody there because they just walk half a mile and half a mile back again. They don't go any further.
The middle bits between these main routes are the interesting bits.
Or they go up Snowdon because that's what they feel they should do. They don't go somewhere else.
Well, you see these footpaths out there that are eroded by people staying on the footpath. I stray off the footpaths because when I could walk properly, it was harder walking, but you'd find things nobody else saw.
Yeah. But going to places that are just not well, that don't have a high footfall is better for you because you're more likely to see something, as you just pretty much said, haven't you? Because the more people that are in a place, the less likely more timid wildlife will be around.
And it's interesting when you get group mentality, people always assume somebody else will see it and will raise, oh, look over there. But actually, no.
I know, but also even if somebody does that, you have to be looking in the right direction at the right time.
Yeah.
My wife is always berating me, going, you say you look at that thing, and I'm like, look. We were in the train recently. I know this is not walking, but we were in the train recently. I said, look in the middle of the field, three of them. She's like, what? Three of them. And she said, we'd already gone past the field, and it was three deer. And I said, it was three deer in the middle of the field. She said, why didn't you say that? I thought it was blooming obvious. I said, three of them, look.
I remember I used to go up, Shotover Country Park gets a big mention on this podcast because we're based in Oxford and that's near where we are.
Well, it's literally
just up the road.
If you threw a stone far enough, hard enough, you probably would get there, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And my mum used to take me up there for walks when I was a kid, and she only used to stick on the main footpaths. And I used to say to her, what's around there? She said, there's nothing around there. There's nothing around there. And then... you know, the ride-ins up by... and I remember we discovered that once. She broke away from walking on the main footpath. And we, you know, when it gets up towards the bridge on going over the ring road,
yes,
it slopes upwards. And I remember getting to the bottom of that slope, and my mum, you could hear the cars on the ring road. And my mum was getting tired walking up the slope, and this bloke came walking down. And my mum said, "Where does this road lead?" He said, "Headington." Anyway, she didn't say anything. And when he walked off, she said, "That bloke's a nutter. This can't go to Headington." Because she had no imagination of where things might be. And we stopped and walked back. And it wasn't until I'm in my 20s or 30s I actually discovered that. And I thought, actually, this is where we stop walking. Mm. And it's sort of like, that frustrates me. People not just sticking to the well-beaten track.
Maybe also another thing that frustrates me is just popped into my head is the habits you take into countryside that are not necessary. Being on your phone all the time, having loud conversations, you know, just having those those unnecessary habits. You know, go out into the countryside and break your habits. Start new habits about being quieter, being in a way more mindful about what's around you, because you never know what you'll see. My mum always taught. My mum always said to me, "If you're quiet when you're out in the countryside, you'll never know what you'll see."
Another thing that frustrates me is somebody said to me the other day that hedgehogs are the UK's favourite animal, and we're obsessed with. I'm not sure if it is the favourite animal, but we're obsessed with it. It's decline in species. But there are other species out there that are declining way more, and we're not interested in those.
No.
It gives less value. Somebody said to me the other day, and that's important, should they be as protected as African elephants?
Yes.
Well, I think gnats are as important food sources.
Yes.
You know.
Bats.
Yeah. Just the whole thing.
Swifts, swallows, martins.
The whole is important.
Yeah, those flying insects are going to be really important to them, that ecosystem. And what do they do when they have a life cycle?
Mm.
What part do they play in the ecosystem in their various parts of their life cycle? We don't like them because they bite us, but that's just a byproduct. It's like mosquitoes.
Yeah, I don't think we have to come up with an environmental angle on this where we're talking about it. But an action is to actually just open your eyes and ears to what's around you when you go for a walk, and put those damn phones down.
Put the phones down. And also, I like the question of what frustrates you, what frustrates us, because it is actually, it's quite an emotive, it's an emotive question, isn't it? But actually, and a negative emotive question, but actually, when you're next out in the countryside, go out and think, what do I like about this? What doesn't frustrate me? Why do I come here? And maybe that will get you out there even more.
So an action, as we said, is just open your senses to this stuff. But we're talking about flying insects. You're going to meet some flying insects later in the year. In August, you're going to be doing a long-distance walk, William.
Yes.
What's that about?
It's going to be around about 60 miles in 3 days. I'm walking with my sister, Victoria.
I saw on Facebook she had some new shoes and she didn't want to get them dirty.
Yeah, she's no, she's not that precious. She really isn't. my sister and I are going to be doing a walk from Putney to Henley in 3 days along the River Thames, and we're raising funds. It's part of the fundraiser for the Wow Effect for Stuart's all-terrain wheelchair. That's one reason why we're doing it. Another reason why we're doing it is because my sister and I get on really well with each other. Neither of us are getting any younger. And I think we've always wanted to do something like this. It's a good reason for us to do it. My sister does a lot of long distance running. She's ran the Berlin, London and Chicago marathons, to name three, and various other long distance events. She's doing a 10K this year actually as well. But so it's a good opportunity for her to actually have another incentive to actually do this, do a long distance challenge, and that's what it will be. We're going to do it over 3 days. We're going to do some reconnaissance with it as well, some training walks with it as well. We're going to be doing most of that on our own social media, but that should spill over into the mainstream social media, like People's Countryside, for example.
What's the Wow Effect? You mentioned that.
The Wow Effect is a wild man on wheels. It's getting Stuart the wheelchair that he needs.
The all-terrain.
The all-terrain wheelchair that he needs. But also to sort of like to demonstrate the barriers that are still there even when you've got that wheelchair, Stuart.
Yeah, because you mentioned about me coming on the last leg to meet you at the end.
Yeah.
Well, I vaguely remember when you're coming out of Henley, so you're coming from the south, walking through, you've got a... where the Henley Regatta takes place, and you've got a building, a tall house on the left, and there's a gate, and I might not be able to get through there, so I might only be able to meet you at the very end of the walk.
The very end of the walk, but there is an opportunity for you to potentially meet us at some various stages of the walk. Kindly, a good friend of mine has offered me a night to stay in Maidenhead, because Maidenhead is just at the right point and his house is literally just at the right place. Mm. It's about 2 minutes walk from the river. So that's what we're looking for. We're looking currently building on or planning on where we're going to stay, because it needs to be somewhere close to the river. We don't want to doing a 3 or 4 mile detour walking, because that will just add extra miles, unnecessary miles.
And there's a link in the description below where you can donate towards this. And this challenge,
yes,
William and Victoria are doing. And if you put a donation, you just put, so, you know, in support of William's walk or whatever. So we know, you know.
We need to give it a name, don't we? So yeah. I'll have to try and come up with a name. Actually, if you're listening to this right now and you can think of a name of a walk. Mm. So it's going to be along the Thames Path. It's going to be about 60 miles. It's going to be my sister and me, so William and Victoria. In August, on the August bank holiday, get all those ideas and even throw an idea at us for what the name of the walk could be.
Put it in AI, see what it bumps out.
Yeah, put it in AI, just come up with an idea yourself.
Yeah. So, what's the second question? From Tommy in Alloa. We're going back to Scotland.
Yeah, do you know Alloa and Los Angeles have a connection?
No.
And they both have an area called Inglewood. There you go. That's a thing. Inglewood up to always. I think in Los Angeles there's a phrase: Inglewood always up to no good.
Mm.
Anyway,
this one's about wealth, I see.
Yes. So, Tommy, thank you very much for your question. Again, first time you've sent a question into this podcast. Concealing wealth is part and parcel of preserving it. Are the wealthy really as insecure as it would seem to me?
Well, and again, some of the previous question was, how can we prove that we are consciousness? I mean, it's sort of like, if we're looking at somebody, you know, is there any way of knowing that they're doing it because they're insecure?
Mm.
I mean, how do we know? I mean, what's your experience on this? People who are wealthy, do they generally conceal it?
Well, I don't often rub shoulders with people who are wealthy. Does that kind of...
Maybe they're concealing it and you don't know.
No, well, I don't know. Yeah, it's very true. It does sort of seem like something that Rishi Sunak said when he was 18, saying, "Oh, I've got friends from every single, you know, walk of life, you know, upper class, middle class, working class. Oh, well, not working class."
Yeah.
It's kind of me saying, "Oh, you know, I don't have any wealthy friends," and I'm like, you know, I don't know if I have or not. But I mean, I would say that part and parcel of so I'll just read this again. Concealing wealth is part and parcel of preserving it. Are the wealthy really as insecure as it would seem to me? I do wonder if it's sort of like, if you are concealing your wealth, is it another way of getting away from taxes?
Yeah. well, I see poor people, working class people, win the lottery, then they don't tell anybody. They're concealing their wealth.
That would be more sort of actually being sensible about it, because... Mm. All the people that would just suddenly appear in your life. Oh, right, yeah, you've got money, right, can you give me some?
So the wealthy people who were born wealthy, or they're long-term wealthy, why isn't it wise for them to conceal it? Liggers hanging on.
Concealing it, yeah, maybe, but I think sometimes, I think the best way of using your own wealth is you don't show it. You don't need to show...
You don't need to be flashy.
Yeah, I think that there are people that... The people that show that they're wealthy have insecurities.
Mm.
And the word concealing in this is...
Is it?
It's quite a loaded word.
Yeah, is it trying? Because
concealing is you're hiding it. You don't want it to anybody to know that you're wealthy. Whereas some people can be very wealthy and they just don't show it.
I've seen people concealing their investments.
Yes.
That borders into fraud or vested interests.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what Tommy's angle is here because he's not sat in front of us. But
No. That's,
I get the feeling maybe concealing wealth is part and parcel of preserving it. Are the wealthy as insecure as it would seem? I do get the feeling Tommy's maybe banging the wealthy over the head, you know, with this. And not saying he's not right to, but I'm just trying to think, come across his angle.
Yes.
You know, the wealthy, rich and famous who are preventing us from confronting the climate crisis. Let's spin it round to the climate in that way. Those people who should be making different decisions but aren't, they're concealing their wealth as part and parcel of it, that power.
Yes.
And are they really as insecure as they seem? I'm not sure insecure. I think they're absolutely petrified of losing their wealth. But I'm not sure that's necessarily insecurity on the whole.
Yes.
It's hard to know because we haven't got them on the examination table.
And yeah, but then if you have somebody who is quote unquote wealthy sat in this room, they're not indicative of every person that has wealth.
No. They might be an environmentalist, they might not be.
They might be, yeah, but because they're all individuals and it also depends on how they got that money. That money could be from anything, any source. It could have been a damn hard work, you know, really good, really hard work. They grifted their entire life and got the money that they got. Or it could just be that they just were in the right place at the right time in their family and they got money given to them.
So having had that conversation,
and everything in between.
Yeah, I'm going to read that again. Concealing wealth is part and parcel of preserving it. Well, it's going to be in there, but what is the motivation? Now, that's the important thing. And are wealthy people as really as insecure as it would seem? Well, probably some of them and some of them aren't.
Yes.
I'm going to throw this at you, Tommy. Let's read the question again. What wealth is part and... concealing wealth is part and parcel of preserving it. Are the wealthy really as insecure as it might seem? I'm going to throw this at you, Tommy. So what if they are? You know, I'm not quite sure. This is an example. We need the questioner in the room with us so we can see the angle they're coming at.
It'd be good to have Tommy as part of the conversation.
Yeah.
So we might come to blows, you know.
Yeah, I think it would be important to have the questioner on board with the recording. But yeah, those bits are in there and there's other reasons. I mean, let me throw this in there then. Should anybody be wealthy?
I think there was always going to be somebody who has more money than somebody else.
But if they're more equal, are they wealthy?
And we're talking about money wealth here, aren't we?
Again.
Because there's wealth. There are a wealth of other wealths.
Again, we're not sure what wealth he's angling at.
I would suggest it's
financial
because you know the whole idea of hiding it consciously, hiding it. I think that's
it's tough.
It's got to be monetary. I think that's what Tommy's talking about in this question. You know, the whole idea of our wealthy really as insecure as it would seem to me. Insecure again. There's a couple of very loaded words in this for me: concealing and insecure. And that insecurity is a matter of perspective and opinion. Of what you think somebody's insecure, it could just be they just don't want to brag about it. That's a very different thing. And I think there are people that are brashly insecure about the money they have, and they're brash about what they do with it. And I think there is an insecurity in that. You know, I've got to show that I'm wealthy, whereas actually people who have got the money often don't need to brag about it because they're leading the life they want to lead.
Well, thanks for listening today. If you're a regular listener, you may have noticed there was a bonus episode this morning at 5 a.m.
Yes.
If you haven't noticed, go and have a listen.
Well, we didn't tweet about it, did we?
No, didn't do anything.